Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for the weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. On this weekend show, we're kicking off with Dana Lyons. We're going to follow up Dana's commentary with a few more, let's say, macro comments on what the main drivers are. Again, a lot related to the Fed and this general tightening process, but also dealing a lot with what bear markets, how they play out. Dana, last time we had you on the show, about 2 weeks ago, you mentioned that you were starting to position for a bit of a dead cat bounce or bear market rally because of how much the markets had sold off. We have gotten a bit of a rally here for the markets. Again, nowhere near going back to their highs. But I wanted to ask you, what are you positioning in for these types of bounces, considering, look, it most likely just needs to be a short-term trade, but what do you think can move the best during these short periods?
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting, as you mentioned, during like the meat of a bear market, the correlations all, you know, everything go, the correlations go to one pretty much. Nothing, the relative strength, relative weakness kind of falls by the wayside. Everything gets dumped. Nothing, like the defensive sectors that had held up very well, staples, utilities, everything starts getting pretty much dumped when you have that those big waves of selling pressure, usually at the end of a short-term, you know, downswell, which I think we got in the middle of the month around the last time we spoke. So it was a combination of things that had us at least turning short-term bullish. One was significant price levels, price support levels, especially based on Fibonacci, and many of the indices were getting reached or tested at that point, especially in some of the broad averages like the Value Line Geometric, the Russell 3000, even the S&P 500 in the low 3800 range we were looking for. So you had some price levels being tested that we thought would at least provide some short-term support. You also had some washout type readings and sentiment. We didn't get necessarily the short-term spikes in fear that we often see at that major bottoms, but we had some longer-term type sentiment readings that were consistently very negative that persisted for several weeks. So that was the washout sentiment was another reason. And thirdly, we had some internal, some breadth readings that did certainly reach some washed out levels. I think the last time we spoke a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning that the NASDAQ, if we had a really bad day, the NASDAQ new lows might set a new record. Well, they didn't set a record, but we saw, I think it was on that May 12th day, we saw, I think it was the third most new lows on the NASDAQ in history, only behind the crash of 87 and then one day during the COVID crash. So you had a number of factors lining up for a decent bear market bounce, short-term, intermediate-term rally, whatever it's going to be. But we did cover almost all of our shorts and started buying some really some index type positions at those lows, looking for a bounce.
Well, Dana, I think you've called these markets very well, really, over the last couple of years. But last year, at the end of the year, you were looking at those breadth readings and saying, hey, there's a lot of weakness under the surface. It wouldn't surprise you if you saw some of the hot sectors, like the growth sector, sell off. And that's exactly what we saw. And really, there was a big rotation from growth to value over the last 6 months, let's say. And a lot of those have just completely tanked. They're down 40, 60%. Some stocks even down 70, 80% individually. Same thing with those reopening stocks and some of the stay-at-home stocks. But when you're playing this bounce, you said you're looking at the indexes for now. Are there any other sectors that you like just as an individual sector? I know you were a little more constructive on some of the other value sectors like consumer staples and utilities, but those have actually gotten hit recently. So is there any sector that you think is safe to go long at this point?
For a trade, yes, almost any of the sectors, really. And the beaten down stuff during a bear market rally are going to obviously bounce the most. So something like tech and consumer discretionary will see the biggest bounces. But the stuff that we like to play in a technical bear market bounce are tickers and indices that are testing really clear levels of support, clusters of key support levels on our chart. So if we're getting a lot of clarity in the price levels on a certain chart and we're testing those, then we're confident going into pretty much anything if the price levels are clear, whether it bounces, whether it outperforms on the upside or underperforms a little bit. We don't care as long as we have clarity that we are at solid price support and are bouncing. Two examples that we bought a couple weeks ago and then last Friday again on a retest would be the IWV and IWB. That's the Russell 1000 and the Russell 3000. So a large cap index and a very broad market index, both tested really clear clusters of Fibonacci support that suggested, you know, at least a temporary reprieve in the selling or maybe even a decent intermediate term bounce. So those are a couple of charts that were clear enough that we felt rather than trying to pick some relative strength sectors when everything is selling off, we thought the charts are clear enough that we'll just pile into a lot of those few positions and play for that bounce. Because, like I said, when you're in the meat of the bear market, like you mentioned, the last few weeks they took apart this consumer staples and the utilities, which had held up very well. Those broke down as well, so it's hard to rely on relative strength sometimes when you have those the major severe bouts of selling pressure within the bear market. I guess the only sector that has been more or less immune to that has been energy. So we have a decent allocation to energy and holding on to those positions right now as they actually hitting 52-week highs, several of those positions. So I guess that's the only sector that's really been, you know, like I said, immune to the selling pressure.
How are you playing the energy sector then, Dana? Because you're right, energy has still done pretty well. Oil is off some of its highs, but what vehicles do you use to trade energy right now?
You know, we use all ETFs, so we are long the USO, playing the oil itself, but more so in the energy equities. So a couple ticker symbols, obviously XLE, we are long XOP, we're looking at FXN is another energy ETF, and so there are a number of them. Most of them are trading similarly, but I think right now XOP's got a chance. If we can break out above current levels, that might give you a little bit more juice here in the short term.
What about the rest of the commodity sector? They were doing pretty good for a while. A lot of the individual ETFs, whether it was the grains or the metals, a lot of them have pulled back some now. Some of that was based on the Ukraine narrative, but just technically, are there any commodities that you're liking the setup here?
Yeah, you know, to us, it's still everything pretty much in commodity land is just consolidating those big run-ups they had earlier in the year, you know, including oil, including the grains. Metals also, we've seen some more weakness than we wanted to see in the metals of late. But for the most part, across the commodity gamut, I think we're just seeing some consolidation of those rallies that we saw early in the year. And we haven't seen any material breakdowns or anything like that. So we're still long a lot of that space and waiting it out a little bit until the next wave up, which we think will come. We think these moves are more or less, you know, continuation patterns where they're just storing up some fuel for the next leg up. Until we see, you know, like I said, definitive breakdowns, we'll stay long, you know, the grains, the energy complex, and even some of the metals.
All right, Dana, we're out of time for this segment, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamil, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. Dana, we wrapped up last segment with you outlining your trading strategy for a number of different commodities. Big picture, if we do see another down leg in the market or a waterfall-type decline, will the commodities be able to weather that storm, or do they get pulled down too?
We'll make the necessary adjustments if that does happen. They held up very well in the most recent selling pressure. So to us, commodities in general are still in a bull market. Until prices and the evidence changes, we're going to treat it as such. So there's been kind of a dichotomy between them and some of the commodity equities. I think we talked about last time. The commodity equities were holding up pretty well for the first couple months of this correction on the back of the strong commodities. But once you got into that, some of the more severe stock market selling pressure, they can't, the equities, even if they're commodity resource related equities, they can't hide the fact that they're still equities. So they end up bringing those down too. So I think those have suffered more so than the commodities of late, just because they obviously they are stocks, so they're going to get dragged down with the rest of them, especially if they're tied to indices, which everything's going to get sold off in those cases. So I think that's probably the root of the relative weakness versus the commodities themselves.
Yeah, good points, Dana, because we've seen a lot of the metals and even the energy components hold up very well, but not necessarily all the equities, which did get hit pretty hard, especially some of the metal stocks. What about the cryptoverse in the crypto land? I know you had mentioned in our last interview you were considering going long because you thought things had pulled back enough to a support level that looked attractive. What's your take on Bitcoin or Ethereum at these levels?
Yeah, we started, but I guess it was like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we got rid of all of our crypto exposure because we thought there was a good chance that we visit around that 28,000-29,000 level in Bitcoin and in Ethereum around that 1,700 to 1,900 level. So we saw that last time we spoke. I think we're testing that a couple weeks ago, that level. So we did start buying some exposure back into Bitcoin and Ethereum at that point, testing that area again here late in the week now. So we are long looking for a bottom of at least short-term bounce, and it might be something more substantial, more durable, longer-term bottom here. So right now we are long. We don't put a ton of exposure, ton of allocation in our client portfolios towards cryptos. But again, given the volatility, given the beta in those instruments, you don't need a big allocation to see some of the benefits if we do get that rally.
Yeah, fair enough, Dana. Those cryptos, boy, oh boy, can they move. I also want to talk about the tech sector because the NASDAQ has been one of the more volatile of the broad averages, and it has been under quite a bit of pressure. We've seen some fairly weak earnings come out of some of the major tech companies. Snap was this week, I believe, that had some weak earnings. Do you see tech as losing kind of the market lead? Tech seemed to lead markets much higher over the last decade. Is it losing that luster?
Well, definitely over the intermediate to longer term scheme of things, tech is definitely a laggard now. So I don't see it until the evidence shows us on the charts and the price action that that's going to resume its leadership. You have to assume that the leadership is dead for probably a long time. That's one mistake that investors make a lot is once a cycle ends, they hold on to that the former leadership too long, expecting them to resume the leadership, which once those longer term cycles end, it takes a long time for those sectors to come back and resume their leadership. So probably specifically because of that fact that there's probably way over owned, too many investors, too much of a money tied up in there. It means too many potential sellers remaining in the market for those to get any traction. So I don't expect like tech and growth and discretionary to lead the market higher for anytime soon. If the evidence changes, then we're happy to change with it. But at this point, they're probably going to be relative laggards for the foreseeable future.
Well, Dana, that's a great point. We saw that in the dot-com bubble that a lot of the prior leaders never came back to leadership positions. Some of the companies completely went out of business. In fact, a lot of them did. And then it took a long time for some of the household names we have today to make their – to claw their way back higher. What about on the short side? When we see this bounce, this relief rally, what will you be looking for to shift from a long, you know, shorter-term trade in the markets and indexes to more of a hedging strategy where you put your shorts back on?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be looking for any sort of weakening in the internals, any divergence in the internals. We'll be looking for, obviously, you know, specific like definitive price resistance on the charts, and specifically looking at those laggards that we're talking about that are now, you know, leading to the downside or have led to the downside for most of the year. So looking at the growth names at tech, at the NASDAQ, at consumer discretionary, those types of names, they might not have as much downside data as they did in that first initial wave. But those are the relative laggards right now. So I would continue to key on those after whatever rally we have here runs its course. Those would be the areas of the market I would be focused on for reshorting and playing probably more aggressively to the downside for the next wave down.
So, Dana, real quick, let's talk about the bond market, because rates broadly have peaked. The 10 years down to about 2.7% and change. That's off of a little over 3% that it was. I realize interest rates are still very low, but they do seem to be on this uptrend. We have seen kind of the broad pullback in interest rates where money have flown into bonds. Where do you see bonds going from here?
Well, as you know, we've talked about it a lot. We think that the long cycle in interest rates, the 60-year cycle, has bottomed in interest rates, which means prices have topped. And interest rates, if hundreds of years of the cycle is correct, then we're probably headed higher in interest rates for many years or decades to come. We did cover a lot of shorts in the bond market, but we'll be looking at levels on the downside to add that exposure, that short exposure back once we get to there. Like I said, we do think that yields are going up for a long time to come. It won't be a straight line, but a couple. If you're looking at the 10-year specifically, a couple levels will be have our eye on are about 250, and then back down around 210 would be some levels we'll probably be looking at adding some short exposure back on pretty aggressively.
All right, Dana. Great chatting with you as always, buddy. Thank you so much for going through a number of different sectors, how you are playing those, and still sounds like we are, let's say, in the middle of this bear market, but rallies come in the middle of these markets, and that's what we're seeing right now. Who knows how strong this rally is going to be, but I don't know. There's just so much negativity out there. It's such a different world for the financial market. Dana, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas is creating a webpage for donations to support the victims of the Uvalde school shooting. Governor Greg Abbott saying the Robb School Memorial Fund will help stitch back together everyone affected by the attack. 19 students and two teachers were killed Tuesday when an 18-year-old stormed into the classroom. The shooter was killed over an hour later by a Border Patrol agent. Gas prices are setting a new record this Memorial Day weekend. The AAA station survey saying the price for a gallon of regular gas is now $4.60 a gallon. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio says people in his state are feeling the pain at the pump.
How do you work through it? I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, people, I imagine, can't drive less if they have to get to work, if they have to take their kids to school. So you're cutting it somewhere else.
You're listening to USA Radio News. President Biden's job approval rating is falling. A new NBC News survey found just 39% of Americans approved of Biden's job as president, while 56% said they disapproved. Just 33% of Americans say they approved of the president's handling of the economy as inflation continues to soar, while 23% approved of Biden's handling of the cost of living. Regarding inflation, the price of butter is up 16% and meat prices are up 13.9%. Clota Lawless owns a restaurant in Chicago, Illinois.
I thought at this stage that we would be in a better position financially, but it's been very difficult, mainly because of where we're at right now with inflation.
Then audio courtesy of CNN, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial is now in the hands of the jury. Lawyers for the former celebrity couple presented their closing arguments Friday in the defamation case against Heard. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the conversation we had with Dana Lyons, really focusing on the markets, individual sectors, sectors that Dana likes and where he sees opportunity. Boy, oh boy, Dana has been pretty much spot on during this pullback in markets. We are now chatting with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manager of the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, I want to stick to more of a macro conversation here when it comes to how different markets react in these environments. We'll start off with the whole narrative around recession, because recent economic data out of the U.S. and actually, in all fairness, out of a wide range of countries does show a broad slowing. And depending on how you want to view the data, well, we could have a recession or a so-called recession right around the corner. This ties into a Fed tightening. We'll get into that scenario later. Let's say we do move into a recession, and it's not a short recession. It's at least a couple quarters, maybe even over a year long. When you're looking at individual markets, how do you break down where investors could invest, or quite frankly, should investors even be investing while a recession is underway?
Good day to both of you. Thank you for having me. Let's just start. I mean, I think there's, despite what the Fed is saying, the Fed doesn't think there's a very high chance probability of a recession. Jerome Powell still thinks they can have a soft landing. But despite that, it seems pretty clear, as you say, that the U.S. economy and other economies are slowing. And it's hurting in particular, as you would expect, it's hurting in particular the less well-off people, the lower middle class, the working class. And you look at Target and Walmart and several other stores, in fact, in the U.S. that have reported that cater to that demographic, have reported warning signs. And in particular, what we're seeing is consumers may still be spending the same amount of money, but with inflation, with consumer prices up 8.5%, and many people think they're actually higher than that, of course, that means that the volume has declined. If people are spending the same amount of money, but prices are up, the volume has declined. And you're seeing two things. You're seeing people forego things that they had wanted to buy, or indeed that they normally buy. Recent survey of consumers said that 60% of consumers said that in the last 2 weeks they had not bought something that they would normally buy. And the other thing that's happening, of course, is people are downgrading what they're buying. And about 50% of people in this survey said that this year they have consistently bought lower quality or perceived lower quality goods. In other words, you might buy the store brand cereal instead of the Kellogg cereal. So I think there's, in my view, there's very little doubt that we are heading into a recession maybe by the end of this year. I mean, a recession, as you know, in the U.S., the definition is two quarters of back-to-back negative GDP growth. So, you know, whether we can call a recession this year or whether it starts this year, but we don't call it till next year, I don't know. But there's very little doubt in my mind that we're heading there. If inflation continues anywhere near where it is, so 5, 6, 7%, or the Fed continues to tighten, we're heading into a recession. I think we're going to see a recession before we see inflation under control. What is inflation under control? The Fed says 2%. I would say 0% was a better inflation rate. But we're going to see a recession before we see inflation under control, which means stagflation.
All right, Adrian. So you've outlined the fact that you do think we're going to see a recession in the U.S. in the near term. Back to the question, though, what sectors, what areas in the financial markets can do well, can withstand the downtrend? Let's get back to more the investment thesis behind this, please.
So in answer to your question, there are various studies that have been done by various organizations. I'm sure a lot of people have seen them, about how different assets perform in different economic scenarios. If you look at stagflation since 1971, so in the last 50 years, we've had 22 different tightening cycles. Most of them haven't lasted very long, of course. Some of them have only been a month or two. But we've had 22 different tightening cycles since 1971. And typically, in a tightening cycle, stocks go down at the beginning. Typically, interestingly enough, the dollar tends to fall and gold tends to go up once we get into the tightening cycle. They tend to have opposite directions ahead of the tightening cycle when the Fed is talking about it. In a stagflation, energy came out, looking at the history, energy came out as the top performing asset class, followed by gold. And they were the two standouts, over 20% in each case, followed by emerging market stocks, emerging market bonds, and other commodities. And developed stocks and bonds, including U.S. stocks and bonds, tended to be the worst performers. So that's been fairly consistent over that 50-year period. Now, one of the things you always have to do, of course, causation is not correlation, I mean, correlation is not causation, sorry. Anytime you look at something like this, you have to look at, well, were there other things going on that affected the results? Clearly, in the second half of the 1970s, which was the long inflation, the long stagflation, rather, the long stagflation that we had, and the most famous one, we did have an extraneous factor, which was the Arab oil embargo, which sent oil significantly higher. So I'm not saying we can discount oil, but I think we have to be aware that that return skews, you know, the whole study. But certainly gold has been the number one performer and or near the top and consistent over all tightening periods, and that's important. And commodities have been generally, including oil, have also been strong. Now, emerging markets, I mentioned, or let's not call them emerging markets these days. Let's call them smaller markets because, you know, when we look at emerging markets in the 70s, we were including Singapore, Hong Kong. You know, I don't think of those as emerging markets. Let's call them less developed markets or smaller markets. They have tended to do well in this environment, particularly in an inflationary environment, but the important thing for those markets is that the dollar declines. So if we don't see a dollar decline, those markets may not do so well. So I'm sorry, I've thrown a lot at you there, but I mean, the bottom line, if you like, is in a stagflation, which is my default scenario in the economy for the next year or two, gold will do well. Commodities tend to do well. Smaller foreign markets, particularly value stocks, tend to do well. The U.S. and other developed markets, including, of course, bonds, tend to do badly.
Adrian, I think that covers it. And I think the real takeaway is it's a very different market than we have experienced. I realize we've had pullbacks in the last decade, but this long drawn out pullback with the Fed seemingly sticking to its tightening path really has to have investors focused on maybe not being too aggressive right now. But look, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you, folks. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm happy to report that I have back on the show with us Byron King, longtime newsletter writer with Agora, currently writing for St. Paul Research. You can also find Byron's recent work at investorintel.com. Chad, unfortunately, is on another call for this segment, so it's just going to be Byron and I chatting, and we're going to very much focus on resource stocks. Byron, I last saw you at that Vancouver Investment Conference in Vancouver about a week and a half ago. We sat down, chatted about some of the stocks, and I said, Byron, I got to get you back on the show because you are really up to date on a wide range of resource stocks, and I think you carry a very level-headed approach when it comes to analyzing these stocks. Broadly, I think we can say that most resource stocks, just like almost every other stock in the markets, seems to be under pressure. I do want to start with some of the larger companies then, because the larger resource companies, their health seems to be pretty strong. Metals prices broadly higher. Yes, costs are rising, but these companies are building up pretty large cash positions, and we even had a company like Barrick recently buy back $1 billion worth of stock. Unfortunately, their market cap dropped by about $1 billion after that fact due to the market downtrend. But as you view the top of the pyramid type of resource stocks, Byron, what's your assessment of the overall health of these companies?
Well, it is great to speak with you. Thank you so much. It's been too long since we've had one of these podcast talks. As far as the big guys go, you know, what you said was, you know, absolutely echoes what I think. We're in a really sweet spot in terms of their cash generation. But how do they generate that cash? They're the big guys, you know, the big mining, the Barricks, the BHPs, the Rio Tintos, whatever. They are generating all of this cash by digging up deposits that were discovered, you know, pick a number, 30, 40, even 50 years ago. And, you know, they just happen to be in the sweet spot of the market where, you know, the cash is rolling in. And so management seems to think, many management teams at the top of the pyramid, many management teams seem to think that their job is mostly to manage that cash and feed it back to the shareholders in dividends, feed it back to the market in general in share buybacks. And, you know, and you want to be careful of going overboard with that. You mentioned Barrick, you know, you buy $1 billion worth of shares, then the share price, you know, the market cap drops, it's a wash. Okay. Be careful of doing that. There was a company that was making huge amounts of money for a decade, just raking it in cash. And they did nothing but big dividends and share buybacks. And that company was called Boeing. And they, you know, a different sector, yeah, they make airplanes. They're aerospace. They're not mining. But you want to be careful that you don't take all this money that you got and just literally, you know, flush it out into the market. And then, and you're not sticking to what you need to do, which is, in Boeing's case, you know, build a better airplane. But in mining's case, take that money and go back out and replace and find those deposits that you're digging up, the 50 and 40 and 30 year old deposits. You're living off the legacy of people who are long deceased, if not, you know, maybe they're retired or in a nursing home or something. But you need to get out there and explore on your own, or be buying up the companies that have done the hard work, you know. And we don't see nearly enough of that. We should, perhaps we will, but we're not seeing it yet.
So, Byron, when do these smaller companies finally get cheap enough for the big guys to take them over? Because you're right, we haven't seen the M&A. That directly impacts the juniors, because if the juniors aren't getting bought up, then all we're seeing is more and more resources being found. But that just means there's more and more resources in the market. So those resources, unfortunately, they're seeming to get lower valuations. What do you think spurs some M&A activity?
Well, you know, you would think that the situation of, you know, burning up your reserves and not replacing them would generate a process that, you know, like literally every year, every 2 years, you know, there would be this M&A cycle. We haven't seen it. The big companies are not doing their job. They are in many respects, they're letting the air out of the junior sector in terms of exploration and early stage development. The explorers and early stage development teams are doing their job. You know, I know, we were there last week in Vancouver. We saw dozens and dozens and dozens of companies out there at Vancouver who have done terrific work in the last, you know, pick a number, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You know, they are just better companies in every respect. You know, more exploration, better geology, better geophysics, smarter geologists, better management teams. They've raised money during good times and bad times. You know, they kept the roof on the house during COVID when you couldn't travel across international borders. A lot of companies out there have done really, really great jobs. And the punchline is their share prices are down to ridiculously low levels. When you say how low can they go? Well, I don't know. I guess you can always go lower, but at some point, you know, these companies are bargains out there just waiting to be bought into, which is good for, you know, retail investors right now. If you care to wade into the market, you know, tumult out there, and be willing to ride it through the storm, you know, I mean, when you look at what's happening in the rest of the big market, you know, the so-called tech markdown, you know, the fangs, you know, the Facebook and the Netflix and all that who have dived down, or even crypto. Crypto was this, oh, crypto. Yeah, great. Crypto's lost $1.5 trillion with a T dollars worth of value in the last, you know, what is like 2.5-3 months. You know, and at the same time, you've got companies out there that have copper in the ground and gold in the ground and nickel in the ground. And that copper, gold, nickel, it's not going anywhere. And the thing is that you can't, you know, when they talk about we're going to mine a Bitcoin or we're going to mine another crypto, we're just going to take the computers and we're going to crunch them and we're going to mine another. Yeah, right. Some of this stuff that the real miners mine has been in the ground for a billion years and 2 billion years, 2.5 billion years. You're not making any more of that stuff if you've got control of that kind of resource, you know, up in the Precambrian of Canada, or, you know, in the Andes Mountains of South America, or in, you know, Sonora, Mexico, or something. If you've got control of that, nobody can sort of regenerate that just by, you know, using a bigger, better computer algorithm and, you know, more computers, more electricity or something.
Yeah, that is fair. The problem is costs are going up, too, so it is more expensive to pull this stuff out of the ground. And as I said, look, there are more resources out there. 1 million-ounce gold resource is nowhere as attractive as it used to be 5, 10, 15 years ago, because it seems like a lot of these companies that have been around for that period of time do have at least 1 million ounces, sometimes up to 4, 5 million ounces, and it seems like they're waiting to get taken out. Some of these companies moving through more economic studies. Fact of the matter is, the potential acquiring companies, they would do their own internal studies. It really turns out to be one of this waiting game type of aspects. Byron, how are you valuing resources in the ground then? Because as I said, per ounce, per pound of copper, it seems like they are getting less and less value as we progress through this even bull market that we can call it.
Well, there's lots of different ways to do it. I mean, one of the things that you look at is, you know, who is the management team? You know, what's their track record? What have they done before? And then also, you know, what's the jurisdiction? It's one thing to have 1 million ounces of gold, you know, in the Northwest Territories. You know, it's another thing to have 1 million ounces of gold, you know, in certain parts of Quebec, you know, and like you say, 1 million ounces, it ain't what it used to be. I'll mention a company, Banyan Gold, B-A-N-Y-A-N Gold in the Yukon. They revised their resource estimate from 1 million to around 4 million ounces recently. And, you know, now that is worth looking at. They have terrific geology. Every time they drill holes, they seem to find something else, you know, knock on wood, right on a highway, right next to power lines, right down the street from another mining development that just, you know, came online 2, 3, 4 years ago, you know, and so, a very developable project, you know, I mean, and it's one of the reasons why Banyan Gold has not really suffered, I would say, the downdraft that many other companies in the gold space have, you know. You know, another company I like in the U.S. is Group 10 Metals out in Montana in the Stillwater District, literally, absolutely right adjacent to the Sibanye-Stillwater play. I mean, you can go out there and you can stand with 1 foot on Sibanye-Stillwater and another foot on the Group 10 mineral claims.
All right, Byron, that's going to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Thank you, as always, for your time. And everybody listening on the radio, we did have to cut the last couple segments a bit short just to fit them into the radio time allocations. If you want to hear the full interviews, all you have to do is visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting and let us know what you think of the show. Fleck at kereport.com and Chad at kereport.com. We love hearing from all of you, and we hope that you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.